Welcome everyone to the Ready for the Draft podcast. I am your host, Greg Schutz. This is episode 26 of the 2024 podcast series, where we take a look at the draft eligible prospects and get you ready for the NFL draft. And welcome to another edition of NFL Draft by the Numbers. This is a set of episodes where I really take a look at each position in the draft, take a look at the draft class. But first, before we can go forward, we have to look at the past. Look at what the history has told us with the draft. And really what I do is I take a look at the last 5 years at the position and really what the draft has told us. What could we then expect going into the 2024 draft? Really just taking a look at the numbers. I know analytics, a lot of people love to take a look at the numbers that way. We're taking a look at it in a little different light, because really we're just taking a look at the number of players that are drafted at each position in each round and see if we can predict right around how many we're going to be seeing coming off the board here for this 2024 draft. So we've already covered the quarterbacks and the running backs. Now it's time to move on to the wide receivers. Now, this year's wide receiver class, there's no doubt that it's stacked at the top, right? I mean, we could have as many as 7 wide receivers taken in round number one, which we just haven't seen before. And so, you know, the talent level just continues to impress as you move down this draft class. It's one of those things to where a lot of other positions, you're going to be seeing them coming off the board much later, because of the fact that this receiving class is just pushing some of these other positions further down on the list. There's so many wideouts that, frankly, there are guys that could be first rounders who end up coming off the board in round two. Guys fall into day three that in other draft classes would be easy shoe-ins for day two of the draft. So there's a lot to cover. You know, we've got 30-plus wide receivers that are going to be taken yet again this year. So we've got a lot, like I said, that we need to jump into. So let's go ahead and get started. And when we take a look at the draft last year, that's really the first one that we're going to be taking a look at. 4 wide receivers taken in round number one, right? With Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Quentin Johnson, Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison. Really right now, Jordan Addison probably had the best rookie season of the bunch. Obviously, he was the one that was able to step in and kind of be that number one wideout. Really had that first opportunity to do that with Justin Jefferson going down. Zay Flowers also having a banner year there for the Ravens as the top wideout. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, look, you know, when you go into a group that already has DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, you know, he's locked in, though, as that slot receiver, as that number three. And then Quentin Johnston still kind of struggling to find his hold there. But now that Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are gone, there's going to be a lot of expectations there on Quentin Johnston, which is why I think the Chargers will be going with a wide receiver early in the draft. Maybe not with the first pick, because, you know, Jim Harbaugh is going to want to address that offensive line. The physicality is really his bread and butter. But day two, absolutely the Chargers are going with a wide receiver. But then you get further down into the draft. You know, Jonathan Mingo was taken. Jaden Reed showed up at times there for the Packers. Rashee Rice. You know, I know that we have the situation there with the hit and run, if you will. But in terms of his rookie season, he really stepped up in a big way. Showed that he is their top wide receiver. Marvin Mims with the Broncos. He's going to have a much bigger role now that Jerry Jeudy's been traded. Tank Dell fell all the way to round number 3, 69 overall. We've seen the impact that he's been able to make. Jalin Hyatt with the Giants, 73. Michael Wilson also there. He's going to have a more expanded role there with the Cardinals. Charlie Jones was a pick there in round 4 that I think the Bengals were expecting a lot of. We just haven't seen enough from him yet. But day 3 of this draft obviously proved that you can find studs at any level of the draft, at any round. And at 177 overall, the 42nd pick in round number 5, Rams drafted Puka Nacua out of BYU. And he went on to set some rookie records and was just phenomenal. Obviously, some of that what was due to the fact that Cooper Kupp went down to injury and they needed that number one wideout. And so Puka Nacua stepped up in a big way. But, you look at Nacua as well. You look at that 40 time. You know, and again, he fell all the way to round number five. But, you know, the competitive nature, a guy that's going to be attacking the football, you know, we saw that at BYU. I don't think anybody, you know, including myself, was expecting him to blow up the way that he did there with the Rams. But, you know, when you talk about, like, the 40 time is a 4.57 at the combine with a 1.62 10-yard split, but he had the fastest GPS of any wide receiver in the gauntlet. Supreme confidence in his hands. There's another receiver in this year's draft class that I think, you know, if teams pay attention to that, we could potentially be seeing him come off the board in round number one. So those were some of the highlights of the 2023 draft. So if you were scoring at home, you know, 32 total wideouts taken in 2023. You know, that was 8 in the first two rounds, then another 6 in round number 3. We saw 6 come off the board with round 4 and 5, 3 apiece. Sixth round was heavy with 7 wide receivers taken there. You know, Trey Palmer of the Bucks, I think, was probably the biggest impact wideout in that group. And then another 5 coming off the board there in round number 7. You know, 2022, you know, we saw 6 wideouts taken there. You know, this was a big draft class where we saw 13 taken in the first two rounds of the draft. And then another 4 in round number 3. But, you know, Drake London, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jameson Williams, all impact players. Jahan Dotson, Treylon Burks, still trying to find their footing with the Commanders and Titans, respectively. Christian Watson, you know, looks like he's a player there for the Packers, although Romeo Dubs taken at number 132 overall, which was nearly 100 picks later in round number 4, is really the breakout star there for Green Bay. Wandale Robinson, you know, a good undersized wideout there in round 2, but then you've got, you know, George Pickens, you know, who's really the Steelers' number 1 wideout taken with the 52nd pick overall. Alec Pierce is a nice number 3 there for the Colts. Not every pick pans out. Bayless Jones taken in, you know, with the 71st pick overall in round number 3, just really hasn't panned out there for the Bears. Jalen Tolbert with the Cowboys, we haven't seen much from him. Another pick there in round number 3. But then you get to round 4 and 5. You know, Calvin Austin could potentially be a breakout there for the Steelers. Khalil Shakir stepped up in a big way with the Bills there in round number 5. And you know, as you get further into that draft, you know, we have, what, 17 in the first 2 days of the draft, and then really just 11 after that. So this was a draft that was very heavy up front, and then it kind of tailed off at the end. I think that's going to be something similar with this year's draft class. You're going to be seeing a lot of guys coming off the board in the first 2 days. Probably some guys there at rounds 4 and 5 that could have come off the board sooner. And then we'll kind of see a trickle down there in 6 and 7. But then you get to 2021. Another interesting draft. This was the class with Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, all breakout stars. Kadarius Toney struggled with the Giants, NKC, you know, Rashad Bateman really hasn't gotten his footing there. Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore, both solid players. Tutu Atwell kind of up and down there with the Rams a little bit. Josh Palmer taken in round number 3 by the Chargers. He's really starting to step up there for the Bolts. Look, then taken, you know, 30 picks later, Nico Collins having a breakout year with CJ Stroud. But this is a draft, again, Amon-Ra St. Brown. There were 16 wide receivers drafted ahead of him. He knows all their names. He can recite every single one. Taking number 122 overall, Amon-Ra St. Brown is the star for the Lions. You know, all pro, you know, a pro bowler, and again, proof that you can get receivers on all 3 days of the draft. You don't have to necessarily make a jump with your pick there at the top of the draft. So if we're looking at that particular draft, 15 taken in the first 2 days of the draft. That's 5 in each round. And we saw 4 in round 4 and 3 in round 5. Again, round 6, similar to 2023, we had 7 followed by 5 in round 7. So that was another 34 taken in 2021. So if we're scoring at home there, that's a 3-year average of about 31, just a little over 31 receivers taken. And you're looking at, again, right around five receivers in each of the first three rounds. Three in four and five, and then four and five and four in round six and seven. The draft, really 2020 was kind of a crazy draft, where you saw six come off the board in round one. Again, this is a CeeDee Lamb taken at 17, Justin Jefferson at 22, Brandon Ayuk at 25. T. Higgins, a part of that draft class, taking one pick after him at 34 overall, was Michael Pittman Jr. Just got that contract extension there with the Colts. You've got LaVisca Chenault, K.J. Hamler, Chase Claypool, Van Jefferson, Denzel Mims, guys that didn't necessarily pan out. You've got Devin Duvernay at round three, at the end of round three. Gabe Davis, though, taken with a 22nd pick in round number four, number 128 overall. We saw what he's meant to the Bills. Now he's going on to the Jags. That was a nice pickup there. Darnell Mooney was a nice pickup there for the Bears. Now he's in Carolina. Juwan Jennings, taken in round number seven, really hadn't had a chance to showcase what he could do. We finally got to see that in the playoffs this year. Very physical blocker, but also showing his ability to be a pass catcher. There were 37 receivers taken that year. Not all of them panning out, but this was a just like 2022, mirror images of each other, where we saw six in round one, seven in round two, four in round three. Fifth round was really the big target. You had eight taken there, six in round six, and four in round seven. I mean, just some staggering numbers there at the back end of the draft. And really, what you saw in 2019, this was a draft where it was very poor at the top of the draft, with just Marquise Brown and N'Keal Harry being taken in round one. But again, this is a draft that saw Deebo Samuel, A.J. Brown taken in round two. Paris Campbell was a guy that came off the board there. D.K. Metcalf taken at number 64 overall. Terry McLaurin in round number three. You had some receivers there on the first 2 days of the draft that really panned out. But just 29 receivers taken. And when you look at it, 13 of those 29 were taken in the first 2 days of the draft. So not really a strong draft class there. But because of what we saw there in 2020, if you look at that five-year average, it actually bumps things up a receiver total to 32. So you look at kind of some of the patterns. In 2021, there was 34. 2023, there were 32. But 2022, only 28. So if you're just looking at numbers, you're just trying to say, all right, where are we going to fall? You're not going to see it drop again. Because, again, 2020, there were 37. I think we're getting closer to that 37 range. It's probably going to be in that 34 to 35 range. But really, when we look at this year's draft class, I got seven receivers in my round one. Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Romeo Dunze, they're top 10 picks. Absolutely, hands down, you can lock that in. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be your number one wideout. I think that's ultimately what's going to happen. I think there's some talk that, hey, maybe Arizona's going to trade down. But look, Kyler Murray needs that number one wideout. What has he had before? He's had Larry Fitzgerald. He's had Duke Hopkins. He's even had A.J. Green, who wasn't the number one wideout there, but he had A.J. Green. He even had Christian Kirk, who's been a number one there for the Jags. So Marvin Harrison Jr., look, you know, we know the story with him. He's so good coming off the line. He's got tremendous length that he uses to his advantage. Just so sudden, though, with the route running. You know, he's a lot bigger than his dad. He should not be able to sink his hips and move like he does coming in and out of his breaks. And then, you know, the ability to separate, especially late. Incredible body control, adjusts to the football in the air, plucks the ball out of the air with ease. You watch body control, but you watch him along the sidelines. He looks like a ballerina with those feet, the footwork there along the sidelines. His biggest thing is the run after catch. That's where he needs to get better, where he needs to improve. But Marvin Harrison Jr., number four, makes a lot of sense to me. Malik Nabers coming in at number two in this draft class, 6 foot, 200. And look, he was a big reason. He played a huge role into why Jaden Daniels was the Heisman Trophy winner. You know, when you look at Nabers and just the production, this past season. You know, 89 catches, over 1,500 yards, 17.6 yards per reception, and 14 touchdowns. The speed, vertical speed for days, running in those 4.3s. A guy that just got on top of the toes of the cornerback so quickly, and a guy that could just get, you know, get vertical and be that deep threat. So I look at him. I think the Chargers at 5. If they do decide to go receiver, give Justin Herbert that number one go-to wideout. You could see Malik Nabers go there. If there are any other head coach, I think that would have been the play, because Trey Pipkins, look, he's 1 year removed from actually having a decent 2022 season. Had a down year in 2023. I still think that Trey Pipkins, getting that coaching staff there with Greg Roman and Jim Harbaugh, we can still see Pipkins. Give him a year before you move on from him. But I think at the end of the day, because it's Jim Harbaugh, I look at J.C. Latham. He just feels like a Jim Harbaugh guy at the next level. So, Malik Nabers, the Giants. There's a lot of talk about the Giants taking a quarterback. Why? You got Daniel Jones under contract. I know he's coming off the ACL tear, and he's had the neck injuries, multiple neck injuries now. But you also have Drew Lock on the roster. You don't have a number one wideout. Why are you going to handcuff any quarterback that you're going to be bringing in? If you bring in J.J. McCarthy, whether it's Daniel Jones, Tommy DeVito, Drew Lock, whoever it is, you need that number one wideout. Malik Nabers will be that guy. And then Romo Dunze. We're really splitting hairs here between these three wideouts. 6'3", 212. Romo Dunze ran a 4.45 40. So you know that he's got that sprinter speed, a guy to take the top off of the defense, but he's also very physical. That's one of the things that you love, especially at the top of his route. And then the suddenness with the route running ability. That's something that you definitely saw from him. Just put on that tape of that 12-yard touchdown against Oregon State where he just jukes out Ryan Cooper, that hard sell to the inside on that slant, and then releases to the outside, adjusts well to the football in the air. Romo Dunze, I think if the Chargers go Nabers at 5 and the Giants get Odunze at 6, here's the thing. If Odunze's still on the board at 9, I really think the Bears are going to consider taking an edge rusher there, whether it's Jared Verse, Dallas Turner, Liatu Latu. They could also trade down. But if Rome Odunze is sitting there, just think about this. You put Rome Odunze with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, with Cole Kmet at tight end, DeAndre Swift at running back, you are building some weapons for Caleb Williams. I think that would be one heck of a play. And, man, that would be a pretty explosive offense to watch. After that, there is a little bit of a drop-off. But I think Brian Thomas Jr. is going to be your number four wideout. 6'3", 209, ran a 4.33 40. This is a dude that just kept getting vertical. That's why, Jaden Daniels, he didn't have to do a whole lot. He'd sit there and buy a little bit of time in the pocket and then just unload, putting a pretty deep ball. Brian Thomas Jr. adjusting to the football well in the air. And, with Brian Thomas Jr., you saw, I talked about the numbers there from Malik Nabers, but this is a guy also over 1,100 yards through the air, 17.3 yards per reception with 17 touchdowns. I mean, staggering numbers. Where does Brian Thomas go? I think the first time that we can potentially hear his name called is at 14 with the Saints. Saints have Chris Olave. Michael Thomas Jr. is gone, so there's a chance that you could see him come off the board there. I think after that, Jacksonville makes a lot of sense. You got to replace Calvin Ridley, who's moved on to the Titans. I think this would be a nice pickup. Get that vertical threat there for Trevor Lawrence. I think if Thomas is still on the board when Cincy's picking, I think that's still going to be interesting. Yes, T. Higgins has come out. I've heard reports. I think it was Fox Sports Radio was talking about how T. Higgins has found a new love for Cincinnati. He wants to play there in 2024. But even if he's there on the roster, you got to replace Tyler Boyd. Give Joe Burrow another weapon. And so I think there's a chance that Cincy could end up being that pick. If he falls all the way to 20 to the Steelers, I know the Steelers are talking about potentially taking an offensive lineman, but if they could get a chance to get a receiver there to pair with George Pickens, that would be a huge win, I think, for both Russell Wilson and Justin Fields there, the new quarterbacks of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Then you get into a group right in the 20s, right? So Adonai Mitchell, I think it would be the fifth wide receiver taken in this year's draft class. That's my personal opinion. And I look at this group, and really, the Buffalo Bills make a lot of sense there with Adonai Mitchell. But I'm actually gonna look at the Lions here for a second with Mitchell at 29. And what I like about Adonai Mitchell and the fit, I think he would step in. You already have St. Brown. You already have Jamison Williams. But Mitchell can come in and take over that spot that was left by Josh Reynolds. Josh Reynolds had some big catches that he dropped in the playoffs that really were costly for the Lions. And I look at Mitchell. This is a guy that can get vertical. Ran the 4.33, at 6'2", at 205. Duke can get down the field in a hurry. Does a great job with his routes. Does a great job widening that corner, showing that outside release, getting the corner to open his hips to the outside, crossing his face, getting easy separation on the inside. I think he can win those 50-50 balls, has that 39.5-inch vertical leap that we saw at the combine as well. He only tallied 300-yard games, have only four more receptions in just seven of his 32 career games. So, when I look at him, the production, he hasn't been as dominant as the physical profile tells you that he should be. And so that's where there is some cause for concern about the type of player that he is. But I still think when you look at the physical ability, he's still worth taking that chance there in round number one. But the Bills are likely going to look to trade up. And I say, where the Bills, they may be targeting Brian Thomas Jr. Get up and get that number four wide out. But here's another thing that's interesting. Could the Bills, because I know Ryan Poles loves to make deals, he moves down in the draft, and I'm looking at Ryan Poles there at that nine spot. Could the Bills trade up and get Romo Odunze? Think about that. They get their number one wideout to replace the departed Stephon Diggs, who's now in Houston, right? And the Bears then move to 28 overall. They could still go with a receiver like Adonai Mitchell, or they could end up going with the top edge rusher that's still on the board. And that could potentially be Chop Robinson. If Chop Robinson's on the board there in the early to mid-20s, maybe Poles looks to trade back up to get that edge rusher to pair with Montez Sweat. Really makes it interesting. It's going to be interesting to see exactly who the Bills are looking to target. If they sit at 28, here's a name that I think people are kind of cringing when I say it, but it's Keon Coleman, 6'3", 213, and I think it's almost blasphemous. History tells us that you just don't draft a wide receiver who ran a 4.6 140 at the combine with a top 50 pick. But that highest GPS in the gauntlet this year, supreme confidence in his hands, plucked the ball without slowing down. Who was the other receiver that did that last year who had a banner year in 2023? Puka Nacua. So I'm just saying, when you look at a guy like Keon Coleman, we've seen his ability to go up, make some spectacular catches. He plays the receiver position like a basketball player, kind of like Drake London does. I think the Bills, man, you get this big receiver there on the outside. It makes a lot of sense to me. You could also go with a guy like Ladd McConkey, different type of receiver. He's more like a Garrett Wilson type. Ran a 4.39 40 at 6 foot and 186 pounds. I actually think Ladd McConkey is going to come off the board to the Chiefs. The Chiefs, this will be a nice compliment to Rashee Rice. I think with his route running ability, the explosiveness, everyone said he was quicker than he is fast, but man, that dude can get vertical as well, as evidenced by that 40 time. But man, this guy, he does a little bit of everything. It was fun to watch him as the gunner on punt coverage, downing balls inside the 5 yard line. He's got the spatial awareness to settle down into the voids of the zone. But then that route running, I think about Cooper Cup and the way that he was able to run routes, even though he was running in the 4.6s, his ability to be sudden, and he was just uncoverable. Ladd McConkey, when he's out there running those routes, we can stay healthy. That's the other key with him. But man, he is so explosive, out of his breaks. He just puts such stress on that corner coming up the field that he can do really whatever the heck he wants. And he was doing that time and time again at the Senior Bowl. I think that makes sense for me taking him, if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, one name that I didn't mention was Xavier Worthy. I've got him coming off the board really on day two in the second round, and I have him going to the Chargers. Reason why, look, he's 5'11", 168. Yes, I know that he set the combine record 4.2, 140. But you look at the guys who are at the top of those lists, even with John Brown, who suffered all those injuries, none of those guys have really been productive at the next level. With Xavier Worthy, I know the speed. Everyone wants to fall in love with the speed. But you watch him, I don't think he's a natural pass catcher. He's one of those guys, too, because of that small frame, he's not going to be very physical. He's kind of almost a one-trick pony. He's one of those guys that you can easily reroute him. He struggles with that at times. And so that's why I've got him falling to round two. But I look at the Chargers. I look at Jim Harbaugh. Roman Wilson with his speed. Harbaugh loved that. And then I look at Quentin Johnston kind of playing more of that Cornelius Johnson type role. I think it would be a nice compliment for them. Xavier Worthy coming off the board there at 37. So then you have to ask yourself, well, wait a minute. Carolina needs a receiver. They did trade for Deontay Johnson to team with Adam Thielen, who was a 1,000-yard receiver. Also had a 100 catches last year. Jonathan Mingo's there as well. But I look at Xavier Leggett. Xavier Leggett, look, he's 6'1", 221. I think the Bills could target him as well there at 28 if they decide to stay there. But with Leggett, the size-speed combo that he brings to the table. Yes, I know there's a concern that in his first four seasons with the Gamecocks, he managed just 42 catches for 423 yards and 5 touchdowns. Antoine Juice Wells got hurt. That moved Leggett into the primary receiver role. And in week one against North Carolina, he had 9 catches for 178 yards and a touchdown. Those 178 yards eclipsed everything that he did in the 2022 season, where he had 167 total receptions. This is a dude, he tracks the ball well. He can high point the football. Also won 47.6% of his contested catches, according to Pro Football Focus. 221, still ran a 4.39 at the combine. And it was, real analytics reported him running a 22.3 mile per hour GPS there against North Carolina. Speed that was faster than even Tyreek Hill. So it's amazing, what you're seeing there. It's just one of those things to where, is he a one-year wonder? We've seen one-year wonders. Kevin White is a receiver that comes to mind. Do you take him in round one? That's really a big question mark. I think at the top of day two would be extremely good value, and Carolina can bring him in and really round out that receiving core. To me, I think that makes a ton of sense. Beyond that, you still have some solid wide receivers here in round number two. And when I look at this group, after Xavier Worthy, I think the next receiver coming off the board could very well be Troy Franklin out of Oregon, 6'2", 176. The Saints, though, don't go with a receiver in round one. I think Troy Franklin could potentially be their guy. Look, he was a favorite target for Bo Nix in 2023. Over 1,300 yards receiving, 17.1 yards per reception, 14 touchdowns, tied for third in the FBS with Marvin Harrison Jr., Emily Neighbors. Ran a 4.41 40 as well. That's a tall 6'2 receiver. He's lanky, but he does do a good job beating press coverage at the line. Can generate early separation, and then he's able to run away from defenders. He's mostly a vertical threat. He's a guy that can go up and high point the football with a 39-inch vertical leap. He does have some wiggle as well. But one of the things that you'll see, again, he's going to struggle against some of the physical defensive backs. I think the other thing is the drops. Pro Football Focus charted 9 drops last season. That's a drop rate of 10.5%. It's one of those things as well, contested catches. Just 6 of those 16 contested catches in 2023. But I just look at him, that classic vertical threat, open things up for Chris Olave to do his work. So that's why I think the Saints, that would make a lot of sense for me. Another receiver that, man, just had a phenomenal year there with Florida was Ricky Pearsall, 6'1", 189. God, that catch against Charlotte. That backhanded catch, ran up the seam, was able to extend that inside arm, catch the back half of the football, thumb pointed towards the ground. Just remarkable what this dude was able to do. But you watch him, he's a precise route runner, can uncover quickly. Again, some of the best hands at the FBS level, but then he runs a 4.41 40, shows off a 42-inch vertical leap, a short shuttle of 4.05, which was third among the receivers. So he's explosive coming in and out of his breaks as well, which makes sense with the way that he runs those routes. He really translates well to the next level. I look at the Bengals. If they don't end up targeting a receiver in round one, and I don't think they will, I think they're going to go D-tackle. You know, I think that really makes a lot of sense. You know, Byron Murphy, get him there up front. Maybe Johnny Newton if Murphy's already off the board, if Seattle ends up snatching him up. But Pearsall would be that perfect complement as that number three receiver with Chase and Higgins. That makes perfect sense to me. Pearsall's not getting out of round two. Roman Wilson's another receiver that I think can come off the board in round two. 5'11", 185. And look, 40 of his 55 targets were hauled in. Just one drop. TD machine, man. 11 touchdowns. He was scoring a touchdown on just under every four touches. Then he runs a 4.39 40 at the combine. So the vertical speed, sudden route runner, weapon in the slot, I think. Now look at the Eagles. They have a dynamic 1-2 punch. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, both went over 1,000 yards, combined for 14 touchdowns. But beyond that, the next three leading receivers were tight end Dallas Goedert and a couple of running backs, DeAndre Swift and Kenneth Gainwell. Now, I know Devontae Parker was signed, but look, he's 31 years old. Production has dropped every year. Only 1,000-yard season was in 2019. I ultimately look at Roman Wilson as a guy that could end up being that third receiver there for Jalen Hurts. So I think that makes a lot of sense to me. And then Baltimore at 62 is going to get Jalen Polk. That's really where I have him going, 6'1", 203. Look, Jalen Polk, a versatile weapon. He really stepped up big when Jalen McMillan went down to injury. 1-2 punch there with Romo Dunze. 69 catches, over 1,100 yards, 9 touchdowns, a threat at all three levels of the field. Legitimate deep ball threat, can track it, adjust to the ball really well. And with Baltimore, look, Zay Flowers, he was dominant there for, I shouldn't say dominant, but he was basically their best weapon in at the receiver position, 858 yards. Nelson Aguilar was third in receiving behind Flowers and the tight end, Mark Andrews. But after that, obviously there are questions. Rashad Bateman, has just been underwhelming. So, and there are questions beyond that. So really, I think at the end of the day, you get another receiver. Jalen Polk is one of those guys that I like there in round number two. So if ultimately we have all of these receivers come off the board in the first two rounds of the draft, we're already talking about 13. Hey, guess what? That's the same number that we saw in 2022 and 2020. 13 receivers. Only we flipped it. We have 7 receivers coming off the board in round one and 6 in round two. But then you look at the draft class, and it just continues to go. It just continues to flow into round three with a lot of different weapons, right? And for me, I look at this receiver class, and it's going to be interesting to see where a guy like DeVonta's Walker shows up. 6'1", 193. And look, he started at Kent State. He started before that. He actually was supposed to play at East Tennessee State. Knee injury deferred his enrollment. Was then at North Carolina Central, but COVID-19, that pandemic eliminated the 2020 season. He moved to Kent State. So Kent State, 58 catches, 921 yards, and 11 touchdowns in his sophomore year. Then he ultimately decides, look, I'm going to move to North Carolina, be closer to family, after the head coach Sean Lewis left. And became the offensive coordinator at Colorado. And then the NCAA ruled that the waivers for due time transfers will be on a case-by-case basis, and he only got to play in in 8 games. I thought it showed some level of maturity with the way that he handled things. He steps out onto the field, immediate go-to target for Drake May. 41 catches, 699 yards, 17 yards per reception, 7 touchdowns. He did struggle with some drops at times, but look, 300-yard performances, at least 3 receptions in 6 of his 8 games. Then he runs a 4.36 40 with a 40.5-inch vertical leap. And, you know, at 6'1", 193, he's a guy who could be a legitimate weapon on the outside. And I look at the New England Patriots. Patriots, they keep adding bodies. You know, it feels like they're doing something like the Giants are doing, right? You know, but quantity isn't necessarily better than quality. When you look at it, you've got KJ Osborne, DeMario Douglas, who, look, he was their leading receiver last year as a rookie. Kendrick Bourne's back, Juju Smith-Schuster, Tyquan Thornton, Jalen Reagor. So there's talk that maybe they go with Marvin Harrison Jr. I ultimately think what the Patriots are going to do is they're going to take Drake May or Jaden Daniels, whoever Washington doesn't take. And then after that, you're going to see him take an offensive tackle at 34 overall. And then with the 68 overall pick, they can end up getting Devontae Walker. Walker, yes, there are some drops, but I think this guy, with the vertical threat and the playmaking ability, the way that he came out there really was that go-to target for Drake May, was a difference maker. So I think he could do something similar there. And look, if he could team up with Drake May, I think that comfort level is definitely going to mean something there. Brendan Rice out of USC, 6'2", 206. Another guy who was a touchdown machine, 12 touchdowns, knows for that end zone. Could be a terror in the red zone as well. 4.5 40 as well, but he brings toughness to the position. Does a great job tracking the ball in the air, uses that size to his advantage. And I mean, you saw him working through some holds and just the physicality of some of the corners in the one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl, and he just looked, looked to dominate that group at times. And I look at Atlanta and Drake London, unquestioned wide receiver one at Atlanta. And then they bring in Rondell Moore and Darnell Mooney. But I think adding another big physical presence, pair one Trojan with another, right? I think it makes a lot of sense. Obviously, Brendan Rice has the bloodlines. He's the son of the wide receiver GOAT, Jerry Rice. And, I think it would make some sense. He makes sense there in round number 3. After that, I think Jalen McMillan is one of those guys that is either a round 3 or round 4 guy. I ultimately have him falling to round 4, so I wanted to preface that. But, he's one of those guys that I think could end up just slipping through the cracks and falling to round 4. Because I look at Luke McCaffrey out of Rice, right? 6'2", 198. And, this dude is a precise route runner. Impressive hands, like his dad Ed. Competitive, that fire like CMC has, his older brother. And look, 71 catches, over 900 yards, 13 touchdowns. He'd be a reliable target for anyone out there. Then he runs a 4.46 40, which actually was 1/100th of a second faster than his older brother. And I look at it, wouldn't it be something if the 49ers could have both McCaffreys on the roster? And you look at what's happening with Brandon Ayuk. Bleacher Report was one of the publications that noted that, hey, they're far apart on the contract negotiations, trade talks continuing to swirl. What's going to happen there? Look, over 1,300 yards through the air and 7 touchdowns this past season. So there's obviously a big blow to their passing attack if he does leave. But McCaffrey and George Kittle meant a lot to the receiving core. Deebo Samuel was the only receiver that kind of proved to be a playmaker, although, again, Juwan Jennings proved his worth in the playoffs. You add Luke McCaffrey to that group, and even if Brandon Ayuk does come back, then you're talking about Ayuk, Samuel, Jennings, and McCaffrey. That's a pretty darn good receiving core for Brock Purdy, with McCaffrey and George Kittle coming along the way as well. Pittsburgh. Man, if the Pittsburgh could wait until round number 3 to get a wideout and could still get a pretty good one in Javon Baker. 6'1", 202. Look, decent speed to get vertical, but he can be physical at the top of his route, has a knack for creating late separation. He's known for those 50-50 balls, plucking the ball out of the air, 52 catches for over 1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns, but his 21.9 yards per catch average ranked among the top 10 in the FBS this past season. And I look at the Steelers, look, they're moving on from Allen Robinson, Deontay Johnson, and look, they bring in Van Jefferson, they bring in Quez Watkins, complimentary receivers, but they need a wide receiver too with George Pickens, and I think Jevon Baker could end up being that guy. And what's crazy with this draft class is now I've got Malachi Corley sitting there at number 100 to the Washington Commanders. Good Lord. What you love about Corley, look, over 259 receptions, over 3,000 yards, 29 touchdowns in his career at Western Kentucky. Tyson Helton, look, I mean, that offense is firing on all cylinders. 5'11", 215, he's built like a running back, runs like it with the ball in his hands. Contact balance, runs through tackles, didn't run at the combine, but Sports Illustrated noted he ran a 4.47 40 at his pro day. Also put up 225 27 times, which put him tied for second among all position players at the combine. Proof, strength on the field, there it is. He's not quite on the level of Deebo Samuel, but he's an interesting prospect. And a guy, again, day two guy. I look at Washington. You talk about Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Olamide Zaccheaus, Jamison Crowder. I think Corley just brings a different dynamic, that physicality to the position. I think would help open things up for McLaurin and Dotson. So I think that would be a lot, be very interesting. So if you're scoring at home, that was another 5 receivers. So that brings us to 18. So that actually is one more than what we saw in 2022 and 2020, and would actually be 4 more than what we saw this last season. Interesting. But I think it could absolutely happen with this year's draft class. Now we get into round 4. You look at a guy like Jacob Cowing out of Arizona, 5'8", 168. Another guy, slot receiver, very sudden though, really carved out a nice career at UTEP and then at Arizona. And I just love the route running ability. He's a guy that can get vertical as well. Slot weapon for sure. And I look at him and I was trying to figure out where might he come off the board there in round number 2. And round number 4. And the Jets, they could be looking for help. They got Mike Williams, they got Garrett Wilson. They need a slot guy. Jacob Cowing could potentially slip right in there. Malik Washington, another diminutive bat receiver, 5'8", 191, out of Virginia. Started his career at Northwestern. This is another guy, very sudden with his route running, a guy that can get open. He's a guy that a lot of people are expecting to come off the board in round number 2 or 3, potentially. I don't see him I still see him on the board in round 4. I look at Arizona. I think Arizona can end up snatching him up and push Greg Dortch to be that slot weapon. Ultimately building more weapons around Kyler Murray. Yes, I think Arizona is going to double dip at that receiver spot. Johnny Wilson out of Florida State. Look, 6'6", 231, a vertical threat. Bona fide vertical threat for a guy that size. He just always seemed to be behind the defense. And I think with Johnny Wilson, it's going to be, I think the Chargers are going to double dip as well. To get a guy, look, 35 and 3/8 inch arms, 20.9 yards per reception as a junior. This is a guy that will be a red zone nightmare, and that those long strides, that vertical speed to get behind defenders. I think he would just bring a different dynamic there for the Chargers. I think that would make a lot of sense for them. So he's a guy that I think will come off the board there in round 4 as well. Then you get into like Jermaine Burton out of Alabama, a vertical threat. And so I kind of kicked around the idea, where would I have Burton come off the board? Where could I see him going? And ultimately the Colts, right? The Colts have Pittman, they've got Downs, they've got Pierce. Pierce is kind of one of those vertical threats. I think Burton would take some of that pressure off. You get 2 guys there. Pittman, the bigger receiver, you got Downs in the slot. That just kind of really rounds out that group there for Anthony Richardson. I think that could make some sense. Jalen McMillan is that other receiver, 6'1", 197. This guy was off to a hot, hot start in 2023 before he got hurt. had a knee injury. He's really, like I said, a day two pick. But I'm looking at Tampa sitting there at 125 overall. You got Evans, Godwin, Palmer. Get another receiver there. And he's a guy that can work out at the slot. Over 1,000 yards, nine touchdowns in 2022. The first three games of the season, 20 catches, 311 yards, and three touchdowns. Good separation coming off the line. Does so as well at the top of his route. Tracks the ball well. Exceptional hands. Dynamic after the catch. Can make defenders miss in the open field. To me, he's a fourth rounder. I think that makes a lot of sense there. So when we look at the fourth round, you're talking about another five. So already when we get into this draft class, we've got five that are coming off the board there. We're already at 23, which in 2022 we had 28 total in that draft class, which is just, it's crazy to think about that. So by comparison, what we saw in 2022, there were 20 that came off the board in the first four rounds. So this draft class will be ahead of that pace as well, with 22. So I'm sorry, yeah, with, what did I say? It was actually 23. So after that, you get into round number five, and I look at a guy like Anaya Smith, 5'9", 190, slot receiver. Jaquan Jackson, I think, could potentially be another guy that you can see come off the board here. And when I think about it, I think about guys like Darnell Mooney. He was a guy that is a slot weapon at the next level, a guy that was able to step in and play pretty well there for the Bears. And now, obviously, he's moved on to the Cardinals. We'll get to see what he does. He came off the board in round number five. So one of those guys that you think of different slot weapons, slot options. He's one of those guys that you can pencil in there. Some of the bigger receivers as well. But I look at him. I look at Jaquan Jackson out of Tulane. I look at Anthony Gould out of Oregon State. Jackson and Gould, 5'9", 5'8", respectively. Not the biggest guys by any means, but they were super productive, at Tulane and Oregon State. Gould with a 4.39 40, Jackson with a 4.42. Both of these guys are incredibly sudden. Gould also put up a 39.5-inch vertical leap, 1.49, 10-yard split, which tied him with Xavier Worthy for the fastest in this group. So very sudden coming off the line. I think those guys in round number five. Jamari Thrash out of Louisville. Look, this is a guy who really made a statement there at Georgia State. I think he's another guy you look at round five. That makes a lot of sense. Even Taj Washington out of USC. 5'10", 174. They call him the chef. Just let him cook. He was a favorite target there for Caleb Williams. And he's one of those guys that I think, as he continued to progress throughout his career, I thought there were times where he struggled with the pass-catching ability at SC early on, but he really carved himself a nice niche into being that go-to number one wideout. 59 catches, over 1,000 yards, 18 yards per reception, 8 touchdowns. He's someone who could sneak into round four, but I think round five is really where his draft stock makes the most sense. So if we're scoring at home there, that already in round five puts us at five wide receivers. There are two other guys that I like that ultimately I think will come off the board in round six. But, I mean, we're already adding another five. We're already talking about 28 receivers, which equals the draft class there in 2022. And we know that we're at least going to see four, five, six receivers taken in round six and seven. So we're going to be getting into some uncharted territory here with this draft class. I think Isaiah Williams out of Illinois, another guy who's very sudden, a guy that, he's worked on the outside, but I think he'd be best in the slot at 5'9", 182. I think he's a round six option. Cornelius Johnson out of Michigan, 6'3", 212. He's a much better mover than I think people give him credit for. He's a guy that I think can end up coming off the board there in round six as well. Michigan, you weren't given a ton of opportunities. He was a guy that was able to make the most of those. You usually see a couple of guys, come off the board in round six that, hey, you know, maybe they should be round seven. Maybe they go a little bit of a round early. That's really where I'm kind of debating right here with this group, because you look round six. In 2022, we only saw two come off the board in round six. So this could be where we stop. And that's probably where I feel most comfortable, because after that, I think we have four or five receivers that we can see come off the board in round number seven. Xavier Weaver out of Colorado. He's 6 foot, 169. And this was a guy, look, you know, he was fighting for receptions, right, there in Colorado. And he started his career there at South Florida, over 1,700 yards, 8 touchdowns there. But then once you watched him there at Colorado, he's battling Jimmy Horn, Travis Hunter for receptions, but he actually was the leading receiver there. 68 catches, 908 yards, and 4 touchdowns. A guy that could get vertical, a guy that worked underneath. And so he's a guy that I think is an ascending prospect and someone that teams will be interested in there in round seven. A guy that, he was kind of the forgotten man in that group, but ended up being a very reliable receiver, especially when Travis Hunter went down to that injury, where he was forced to miss some time. So he's a guy that I think is definitely intriguing. I think Tulu Griffin out of Mississippi, 5'10", 181, ran a 4'4", 340. This is another guy that is intriguing. Could he be a round seven pick? I think it's possible. Over 1,400 yards through the air, 9 touchdowns. He's one of those round seven potential priority free agents. He's kind of one of those tweeners for me. Bub Means, 6'2", 204. Over 700 yards receiving there at Pitt. Didn't score, scored 6 touchdowns with 17.6 yards per reception. He started his career freshman year at Louisiana Tech. And 430 receiving yards, but 19.5 yards per reception. A guy that can get down the field and, 4'4", 340. He's one of those guys that I can see a team taking an interest in there late in the draft. I think Ryan Flournoy is another intriguing prospect, a guy that, has really, really nice ball skills. 6'1", 202, bigger receiver, Southeast Missouri State. And, when you watch him at the combine, he didn't look out of place. He looked pretty fluid, 4'4", 440, 39.5-inch vertical leap. Look, he threw up 225 19 times. And, that really ranked him among the top receivers at the position there as well. So, he's one of those guys that could go a little bit higher. I also think Flournoy is going to end up being a round seven pick when it's all said and done. Devon Vele, he's a 6'4 receiver. He's got really nice size. I never thought that he really separated himself. He ran a 4.47 40, so when you're talking about a guy his size moving that well, 6'4, he's one of those guys. I think of JJ Arcega Whiteside. I just have flashbacks to Arcega Whiteside, a big, tall receiver, a guy that can get physical. And Arcega Whiteside just never really got to do anything there at the next level, right? Second round pick, a lot of hype around Arcega Whiteside coming out of Stanford. And it was one of those things to where it was a really good receiver in college, and the pros ended up just 3 years in the league. Started 7 games, 16 catches, 290 yards, and just 1 touchdown. But that was after a career there at Stanford, where at 6'3", 222 pounds, went over 1,000 yards in his final year, 14 touchdowns. The game just never really translated to the next level. Never really got much of a chance there to really get things going. And it was just one of those things to where injured reserve, I think, what was that, early 2022. But he just never really got anything flowing. He ended up converting to tight end. So I worry about some of these receivers, these taller receivers, at times, especially, I look at Devon Vele, 1,600 yards through the air there for Utah, 9 touchdowns. He was really one of the go-to targets for Cam Rising. I just see him as a developmental guy, and a guy that probably will be a priority free agent when it's all said. I think in this draft class, you got Marcus Rosemead-Jack-Saint, 6'1", 195. So he's got good size, right? But he's one of those guys that never really, he's on that Georgia team, never really separated himself. I haven't really seen anything from him that screams, this is a guy that should be taken. So I think he's probably a priority free agent as well. You look at Joseph Cephas. They're out of UTSA. And he's one of those guys that is definitely intriguing. I thought, you watched him at the East-West Shrine Game, and a guy that was able to create separation. Obviously, when you have some big-time receivers there, with that receiving core in 2022, he was having to really shoulder the load there with Zachary Franklin, DeCorian Clark, and he ultimately was the guy. Got all the passes there, 89 catches, 1,151 yards, 10 touchdowns. Really, you look at the last 3 years, and he was very productive, over 800 yards in 2021, 985 yards in 2022, and 22 total touchdowns over those 3 years. So he's had some off-field issues, but I look at Joshua Cephas. I said Joseph earlier, but it's Joshua Cephas. He's one of those guys I think a team could take a flyer on there in round number 7. He's the one other guy that I could see coming off the board there. So when we look at guys, when we're talking about round number 7, to kind of finalize this group, if you will, I think we look at what we say, Weaver, Flournoy, maybe we give Bub Means, maybe we just give another one to Cephas. So if we give that group, we ultimately round that out, we're looking at 34 receivers, which equals the 2021 draft class. Actually exceeds the draft class from 2023 and equals what we had there in 2021. It then exceeds both the 3-year average and the 5-year average, but we expected to see that. And there are other receivers, Jalen Coker of Holy Cross, Jordan Whittington of Texas, Tavion Robinson of Kentucky. Could teams potentially take those guys? Same with Devon Vele. I think it's entirely possible. I just don't see it happening. But 34 receivers, that feels about right. But what we're seeing there, when we talk about the depth, is the number of receivers that came off the board in the first 3 rounds of the draft, which I have at 18. And then when you're talking about receivers, you add that 4th round in, you're talking about a total of 23. And so 18, we never saw that happen in the last 5 years of the draft. The most we saw was 17 through the first 3 years. And we haven't seen a 4-round total that gets to what we're seeing here with this draft class at 23. So it's a lot more heavy on the front end of this draft for sure. But you're talking about a lot of talent at this receiver position. And really, you're being led by Harrison Jr., Neighbors, and Odunze, but there are a lot of guys at the end of round 1, in second, third round, who I think could really end up emerging as go-to targets at the next level. And there's going to be one or two guys on day 3 of the draft who are going to sneak up on you and end up becoming studs at the next level, guys that we could be talking about as potential Pro Bowlers. Puka Nacua was the latest one, but you can go every draft and find at least one guy, and we already did that, right? Romeo Dubs is a guy that's continuing to step up his game there for the Packers. That was 2022. Not to the same level of Puka Nacua, I know, but then you get to 2021 and Amon-Ra St. Brown sitting there in round number 4. 2020, if we look at that draft class, if we were to go with someone, maybe it's Gabe Davis. You know, I think that's really kind of a step back. You know, most of what you saw there with that group, it was the first 2 days of the draft. Really, it's the first 2 rounds more than anything else. And then you get to 2019. A lot of it, again, my eyes go directly to round two with Debo and AJ and DK. And then round three with Deontay and Scary Terry. I don't know that there really was a guy there on day three of the draft that really emerged as a receiver, and that's really indicative of the fact that 2019 draft class, it just, there wasn't a whole lot of depth to that group. And so obviously every year is going to be different, but I think there's always a chance. When I look at this year's draft class, there are a lot of guys that I could see really having exceptional careers there at the next level. And we'll see how this plays out. But that's my look at NFL draft by the numbers for the wide receiver position. We went back the last 5 years, took a look at those draft classes, and compared those to this year, and really tried to get an idea of exactly where these guys will come off the board. Next up will be the tight ends and offensive line. Then we'll flip to the defensive side of the football. And look, the NFL draft is right around the corner. I'm recording this on the night of Sunday, April 14th. And so obviously, we get into Monday the 15th. That's going to be 10 days away. The draft is here. Get excited. I certainly am. So we've got a lot to cover in a short period of time. I want to make sure that we get through each of the positions when we're looking at the draft by the numbers. I want to also be able to bring my final mock draft and break that down as well. I'll have all 7 rounds of the draft mocked and on the website before the start of the NFL draft. That is readyforthedraft.com. So I will have all of that up as well. So until next time, everyone, for readyforthedraft.com, this has been the Ready for the Draft podcast. I've been your host, Greg Schutz. Take care, everyone. Enjoy your week. Countdown to the NFL draft is on. And until next time, I am out of here.